بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، ما بعد. عن ابي طريف عدي بن حاتم الطائي رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول: من حلف على يمين ثم راى اتقى لله منها فليات التقوى. رواه مسلم. The narrator of this hadith is a sahabi by the name of Adi bin Hatim al-Tai radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He came to Medina Sharif as part of a delegation in Sha'ban of the 9th year of Hijrah. His sister was very instrumental in him accepting Islam. We find that in those days many famous sahaba, because of the efforts of women folk, either in their families, etc., the fikr of the women became a means of them accepting Islam. Very famous incident is that of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his sister Umm Jamil radiallahu ta'ala anha. Her husband was Sa'id bin Zayd. Abu al-Awwal radiallahu ta'ala anhu was amongst the Ashra Mubashara, those 10 sahaba who were given the glad tidings of Jannat in this world. In fact, ulama say it was the ta'aleem in the home of Umm Jamil radiallahu ta'ala anha, that ghaliban it was Khabbab bin Arat radiallahu ta'ala anhu that was teaching them the Quran. And the barakat of the ta'aleem, very famous incident where Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu came into the house, he saw them making this ta'aleem and he became very, very upset. We know the incident. We find that it was her fikr and her concern that became the means of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu accepting Islam. Likewise, the wife of Ikrama bin Abi Jahal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, she became the means of him accepting Islam. And in the case of Adi bin Hatim, it was his sister. So we find that the women folk of that time also had this fikr and concern for hidayat and how Islam can spread. Initially, Adi bin Hatim was a Christian and he was famous and known for his generosity. And once he accepted Islam, that quality of generosity remained in him. He made great khidmat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also. Such was the level of his generosity that he would even feed the ants bread. And he would say that they are our neighbors and that they have a right over us. Such was his love for Salah that Adi bin Hatim radiallahu ta'ala anhu himself used to mention that ma dakhala alayha waqtu salatin illa wa ana mushtaqun ilayha. That no time for Salah came in except that before that time I already had shauq, I had inclination for that Salah. So much of love he had for Salah. He passed away in Kufa in the year 67, that is the 67th year of Hijrah. At the time his age was 120 years. He narrated 66 ahadith. Of the ahadith narrated by Adi bin Hatim radiallahu ta'ala anhu, there are 5 ahadith that are mentioned. 3 are mentioned in Bukhari and Muslim together, and another 2 more that are mentioned in Muslim Sharif. The hadith narrated by him on this occasion is that once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that man halafa ala yameenin, that person who takes an oath. Now we have to understand first and foremost that when you have this expression taking an oath, what is meant is to take an oath on Allah's name, either on Allah's name or on the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find that to take an oath on any entity or being besides Allah in Shariat is haram. We find a lot of people sometimes they get upset or to assert what they're saying, my mother's qasam or this one's qasam or that one's qasam. Or some people take qasam on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We find that this is totally prohibited in Shariat. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, man halafa bi ghayri Allah faqad kafar aw ashrak. That person who took an oath on any entity besides Allah has committed kufr, or he has committed shirk. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, man kana halifan falyahlaf billah aw liyasmut. That person who wants to take an oath, let him take an oath on Allah's name or let him remain silent. Second aspect of this question of taking oaths, I'm digressing, it's a public holiday, take a few minutes extra, because we find that unfortunately, many of us, we have trivialized this issue of taking qasam and oath. Taking qasam and oath, we are taking qasam on who? On Allah. Or on the sifat, on the attributes of Allah. So this is not something that has to be taken lightly. It's something that should be taken very, very seriously. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran that wahfadhu imanakum. One explanation of wahfadhu imanakum, where Allah commands you that protect and guard your qasam and your oath. One explanation of that mufassirin have given that do not take this issue of taking oaths lightly. When you take an oath, you're taking an oath in Allah's name, so fulfill that oath and that qasam. And the second explanation ulama ikram give, that la tukthirul halaf billah, that don't get into the habit of taking oaths, don't excessively take oaths. A lot of people, it has become their takya kila kalam, their pillow talk. Wallah talla, wallah this, wallah that, Allah's name this, Allah's name that. Now this expression, wallah, means I take an oath on Allah. It's not something that's supposed to be part of your daily speech. It's something that you are supposed to seriously consider before you take the name of Allah Ta'ala. So if you are in this habit of wallah, etc., we should take that out of our speech and be careful about what we are doing. Because the masla is that when we take an oath, and if we do not fulfill that oath, there is kafara. We have to give kafara for not fulfilling that oath or for breaking that oath or qasam. And what is the kafara? We have to feed or clothe 10 poor people. And if we are unable to do that, financial circumstances don't allow, then we have to keep 3 consecutive fasts if a person has to break his qasam. So like I mentioned, this is not something to be taken lightly. Also, we should bear in mind that ulama advise that when you take an oath, then use the attach inshallah with it. That don't just take an oath on its own, but say inshallah. There are 2 great benefits for taking inshallah or for mentioning inshallah together with whatever oath that we take. One is, by saying inshallah, we are indirectly asking the help of Allah in the fulfillment of what we are saying. And the second great benefit is that if you attach inshallah to your qasam, then if you do not fulfill that qasam for whatever reason, there is no kafara. Person will not have to feed 10 poor people, or you will not have to fast, etc. Another important aspect when it comes to taking oaths is that we do not take an oath over something that has passed already. Something that has passed. For example, a person says, Wallahi la afal, Arabic expression, Allah's qasam, I didn't do it. In other words, something already passed, you say, Allah's qasam, I didn't do it. That is not actually an oath. Because ulama say this, one of 2 possible scenarios. Either you spoke the truth or you lied about something that passed. If you lied, example, I didn't do it and in fact you actually did it, or I didn't see it and you saw it, then if you lied, you will be a sinner, but there is no kafara because it is past tense. And if you spoke the truth, then obviously there is no problem. Where this issue of oath comes in, or the masla of giving kafara comes in, when you swear an oath about something in the future, that I take an oath on Allah, I am not going to do it. I am not going to do it, or whatever it, whatever matter you took an oath about. Now in that instance, there's one of 2 scenarios again. Either you fulfill the qasam. If you fulfill the qasam, there is no problem. Allah's qasam, I'm not going to do something, so obviously you didn't do it, etc. No problem. You take an oath on Allah and say, I'm not going to do something, and then you break the qasam. There, in that instance, there is kafara. That is, you will have to feed or clothe 10 people, or if unable to do so, you will have to fast for 3 consecutive days. Now coming back to this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, a person, Adi bin Hatim says, that I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, that a person took an oath, man halafa ala yameen, took an oath on whatever matter, that I'm not going to do something, etc. Thereafter, thumma ra'a atqa lillahi minha. Thereafter, he saw or he realized that in breaking this qasam, there is more taqwa. It is more virtuous. There's something more virtuous if I go against this qasam. Then in that instance, what must he do? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَلْيَأْتِدْ taqwa. He must every instance adopt the road of greater taqwa, greater piety. In other words, even if it means breaking his qasam. Example of this is sometimes you get upset with somebody. You get into an argument and the person says that Allah's qasam, I'm not going to speak to this person. For the rest of my life I won't speak to you. Now in this instance, if that person is a Muslim, in Shariat, hijranul Muslim haram. To break off ties with a Muslim permanently is haram. Something that is totally prohibited for worldly reasons, to break off ties with a Muslim. So in that instance, atqa lillah, more virtuous, more pious, is to actually break the qasam. So we are advised, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, break your qasam, give kafara, and speak to that person. We find in the time of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one incident is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, that a group of people from the Ash'ari tribe came to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and they requested him for a camel, for conveyance. At that time, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't have anything with him. And obviously, for whatever reason, to teach them or to dissuade them from asking and from placing their needs in front of the makhluk, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Wallahi la ahmilukum ma indi ma ahmilukum. Allah's qasam, I will not give you a conveyance and I don't have anything with me to give you. Such was the generosity and the nature of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that later some camels came. So straight away, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent these camels to the Ash'ari tribe. Now when these people received these camels, Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu was the narrator of this. They started talking amongst themselves that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took oath he won't give us camels. Now he has given us this, so obviously la yubarikallahu lana. Allah won't give barakat in this. Because this is against the qasam of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So when this matter was brought before Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam by Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that Ya Rasulullah, you said Allah's qasam you won't give us and now you have given us. So look at the response that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave. He said, Ma ana ahmilukum balillahu hamalakum. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I didn't give you, Allah gave you, Allah made intizam. But what was my practice? Inni wallahi insha'Allah la ahlifu ala yameenin. فَأَرَى غَيْرَهَا خَيْرًا مِّنْهَا إِلَّا كَفَّرْتُ عَنْ يَمِينِي وَأَتَيْتُ الَّذِي هُوَ خَيْرٌ. He said, my practice is that whenever I say, inshallah, Allah's qasam, I am not going to do something, and then I see that the alternative is better, then I break my qasam, and I do what is better, and I give kafara for my qasam. So this was the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that a Muslim in every instance should look at what is the better action. Another example of this, which unfortunately has become very, very common amongst us. Sometimes a person says that so-and-so relative of mine, or my brother, or my cousin, or whoever it may be, I am not going to visit him ever. Take Allah's qasam, I won't speak to him, or I won't visit him. Now we find sila rahmi, preservation of family ties, this is something that is wajib in Sharia. So in that instance, he is required to break that qasam, give kafara, and reaffirm his family ties. We find in the incident of where Aisha radiallahu anha, the beloved wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was na'uzu billah slandered and falsely accused of zina. At that time, many verses of the Quran were revealed, proving the innocence of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Her father was Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And one of the people that was instrumental, got caught up inadvertently, was a Badri sahabi by the name of Mistah bin Usas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was actually the cousin of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Aisha radiallahu anha would have been his cousin. He spoke against her, who he got involved in spreading this rumor. So when the verses of the Quran came down, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was so upset that this is my own relative. He was a poor person. Prior to that, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to assist him financially. So when these verses came down that Aisha radiallahu anha is innocent, and thereafter it became known that these two or three sahaba, amongst the munafiqeen in their place, the hypocrites. But the true sahaba, amongst them, it was just these two or three that got caught up. They made a mistake, they made tawbah, etc. But in that, Josh Abu Bakr said, Wallahi la unfiqu alayhi shay'an abada ba'da alladhi qala li Aisha. Abu Bakr said, I take qasam on Allah, I won't spend a single cent on him after this. I'll never help him again after what he said about my daughter. So at this occasion, the verse of the Quran came down. وَلَا يَأْتَلِي أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّعَةِ أَيُؤْتُوا لِلْقُرْبَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Look at the emphasis that Sharia places on preserving family ties. This verse is revealed that Allah Ta'ala says that don't you want me to forgive you? Do you not wish that Allah should forgive you? Allah is both most forgiving, most merciful. Let it not be that you stopped from spending upon your needy relatives. It is said that this verse was revealed because Abu Bakr, or one of the reasons of the revelation of this verse, was this incident where Abu Bakr said, I take qasam on Allah, I will not spend upon this relative. Which relative? The one that slandered his own daughter. The one that slandered the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Still, Allah says, do not break family ties. The person is your relative, if he is in need. Even in that instant, assist him. And what will Allah give you in return? Allah will forgive you. Allah loves to forgive, Allah will forgive you. So when this verse of the Quran was revealed, Abu Bakr said, Wallahi inni la uhibbu an yaghfirullahu li faraja'a. Abu Bakr said, Allah's qasam, I love that Allah should forgive me. I love that Allah should forgive me. He broke his qasam. He reinstituted the paying of this assistance to Mistah bin Musas. And he also said, La anzi'a minhu abada. For the rest of my life, I will never stop spending upon this relative of mine. Such was the preservation of family ties and adherence to the laws and ahkamat of Sharia that were there in the lives of Sahaba Ikram. So coming back to what we're saying, if a person says, Wallahi Allah's qasam, I break off ties from a certain person, or I won't talk to my relative, there he should give kafara and break his qasam. Why? Because according to this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is atqa, this is more virtuous, this is more pious. Allah give us tawfiq.